6. Remembering Justice Scalia. Justice Ginsburg delivered the following remarks at a memorial service held for her close friend Nino after his sudden and unexpected death on February 13, 2016. Although very different in temperament, judicial outlook, and political beliefs, the two developed a close friendship beginning in the 1980s during their service together as judges on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. As Justice Scalia told us in an interview in 2007, "We are two people who are quite different in their core beliefs, but who respect each other's character and ability. There is nobody else I spend every New Year's Eve with." Justice Scalia, who had a talent for making the more sober Justice Ginsburg laugh, also was especially struck when he witnessed her tears. "A lot of people," he said, "have this notion that she is a sourpuss, and she is not. She's a pussycat. She's a really nice person. I'll tell you, this shows you how tender-hearted. When we were in India together, we went to Agra to see the Taj Mahal, and there is a doorway where you first get sight of it. You know the story of it, the sky built it for his deceased wife. She stood there when we got there, in that doorway. Tears were running down her cheek. That emotional. I mean, I was amazed." Remembrances of a Treasured Colleague. Remarks at Memorial Service for Justice Antonin Scalia. Mayflower Hotel, Washington, D.C. March 1st, 2016.
There's a play called The Originalist. It is about Justice Scalia and a fictional law clerk. And it opens with two quotations. First, the fixed meaning canon. Words must be given the meaning they had when the legal text was adopted. And second, such is the character of human language that no word conveys to the mind in all situations, one single definite idea. The first quotation is attributed to Justice Scalia and Brian Garner in their book, Reading Law, The Interpretation of Legal Texts. The second was penned by the great Chief Justice John Marshall. Justice Scalia would no doubt stand by the words he and his co-author wrote. My view accords with the great Chief Justice's, and I believe Justice Scalia would agree that Marshall had a point, that no word conveys to the mind in all situations one single definite idea. I will not discuss with you Justice Scalia's provocative jurisprudence. I will speak instead of our enduring friendship from the years we served together on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit through the nearly 23 years we were two of the nine justices on the U.S. Supreme Court. In my treasure trove of memories, an early June morning, 1996, I was about to leave the court to attend the Second Circuit Judicial Conference at Lake George. Justice Scalia entered, papers in his hand. Tossing many pages on my desk, he said, "Ruth, this is the penultimate draft of my dissent in the VMI case. It's not yet in shape to circulate to the court, but I want to give you as much time as I can to answer it." On the plane to Albany, I read the dissent. It was a zinger. This wolf comes as a wolf variety. And it took me to task on things large and small. Among the disdainful footnotes, the court refers to the University of Virginia at Charlottesville.
There is no University of Virginia at Charlottesville. There is only the University of Virginia. I wonder, Professor Christopher, would your dad say the same thing today? Thinking about fitting responses consumed my weekend, but I was glad to have the extra days to adjust the court's opinion. My final draft was much improved, thanks to Justice Scalia's searing criticism. Another indelible memory, the day the court decided Bush v. Gore, December 12, 2000. I was in chambers, exhausted after the marathon review, review granted Saturday, briefs filed Sunday, oral argument on Monday, and opinions completed and released on Tuesday. No surprise, Justice Scalia and I were on opposite sides. The court did the right thing, he had no doubt. I disagreed and explained why in a dissenting opinion. Around 9 p.m., the telephone, my direct line, rang. It was Justice Scalia. He didn't say, get over it. Instead, he asked, Ruth, why are you still at the court? Go home and take a hot bath. Good advice I promptly followed. Among my favorite Scalia stories, when President Clinton was mulling over his first nomination to the Supreme Court, Justice Scalia was asked, if you were stranded on a desert island with your new court colleague, who would you prefer, Larry Tribe or Mario Cuomo? Justice Scalia answered quickly and distinctly, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And within days, the president chose me. Among Justice Scalia's many talents, he was a discerning shopper. In Agra, together in 1994, our driver took us to his friend's carpet shop. One rug after another was tossed onto the floor, leaving me without a clue which to choose. Nino pointed to one he thought Maureen would like for their beach house in North Carolina. I picked the same design in a different color. It has worn very well. Once asked how we could be friends given our disagreement on lots of things, Justice Scalia answered, I attack ideas. I don't attack people. Some very good people have some very bad ideas. And if you can't separate the two, you've got to get another day job. You don't want to be a judge, at least not a judge on a multi-member panel. Well-known illustration. Justice Scalia was very fond of Justice Brennan, as Justice Brennan was of Justice Scalia. I will miss the challenges and the laughter he provoked, his pungent, eminently quotable opinions, so clearly stated that his words never slipped from the reader's grasp. The roses he brought me on my birthday, the chance to appear with him once more as supernumeraries at the opera. In his preface to the libretto of the opera Buffo, Scalia Ginsburg, Justice Scalia described as the peak of his days in D.C., an evening in 2009 at the Opera Ball at the British Ambassador's residence, when he joined two Washington National Opera tenors at the piano for a medley of songs. He called it the famous three tenors performance. He was indeed a magnificent performer. How blessed I was to have a working colleague and dear friend of such captivating brilliance, high spirits, and quick wit. In the words of a duet for tenor Scalia and soprano Ginsburg, we were different, yes, in our interpretation of written text, yet one in our reverence for the court and its place in the U.S. system of governance.